you didn't, you're really, really weird. Amen? And that was mighty, mighty good singing tonight. I praise the Lord for that. I love both of those songs. Amen? I've loved that song, There's Not a Friend, like the lowly Jesus, as long as I've ever heard it. But several years ago, I became acquainted with some little ladies from Alabama. And that was the Henderson ladies, a mom and two daughters. And I never heard anybody sing that song like they sang it. And boy, just touched my heart. I've told this story a thousand times. I was preaching in North Carolina, and one fella had preached, and it was camp meeting. And then they were to sing, and I was to preach. And I'd never met them before, and the preacher said, well, we're going to have the Hendersons come and sing, and then Brother Eddie's going to come and preach. Well, I'm sitting on the front row, and they all three walked by me, and if you've ever met the Hendersons, you know their appearance. They're just old country women. They had on, the country folks used to call them dusters. It's the little old cotton, I don't know what you call it. It ain't not really a dress. They call them a duster anyway. And they had on house shoes. I lie you not, we're in a church with 1,500 people in it, and here they come with look like house coats on and house shoes. And I'm sitting there, and I get a bad spirit. I'm like, yeah, they're going to get up and make a mess, and I got to get up and try to pull it out, you know. And I'm like, God, please help them. Lord, help them. And son, they opened their mouth, and God jumped out with both feet, and I said, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Lord, have mercy. That's what they sang, There's Not a Friend. Go ahead, Brother Randy. Go ahead, son. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Amen, brother. That's in order. God bless your heart, brother. Amen, brother. God bless your heart, Randy. Amen. That's a good way to start revival right there, amen. At least that'll be revival at the Massey house, I guarantee you, amen. You can bet good money that boy won't go to bed hungry tonight, amen. What a blessing. Philippians chapter number 2. And I was talking about the Henderson girls, and somebody, you know, they quit singing for a while, and somebody told me they were singing again. I don't know if they are, Brother Charles. Boy, I'd sure love to hear from them. I'd like to have them back. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter number 2. I want to look at one very familiar verse of Scripture. I began to pray. Before I prayed, I panicked. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Brother Earl called today and told me he couldn't come. And I got a man working on Levi's truck, and I was in the middle of trying to help out with that. And then my phone rang. Brother Earl's backing out, and I'm like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And, boy, I start trying to figure, okay, let's see, Brother Dwayne Moore, I'll call him. No answer. Everybody called, no answer. And the Lord said, Brother Freddie said, you didn't call me. And somewhere in the back of my mind, I felt like the Lord was saying, put the phone up and get the Bible out. I said, yeah, but it's revival, and I need somebody outside her. He said, no, you don't. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to preach, I'll just bring something to my mind. You know, I'll be honest with you. You got to be a pastor to understand this. I wasn't prepared for tonight. I was prepared, but I was prepared to come and get fed and hear Brother Earl preach. Yeah. Amen. So talk about instant in season, out of season. I had to get ready, amen. But the Lord gave me this thought, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Famous verse of Scripture. We preached from it many times, but in Philippians 2, 5, the Bible said, let this, say that next word with me. Let this what? Let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, he said that we ought to endeavor to have the mind of Christ. Amen. The mind of Christ. When you talk about the mind, a lot of times what you're actually talking about is the attitude or the thought process of the mind. Now, if we're going to have a revival, I'm not talking about several nights of meeting, special singing. That's just a meeting. That does not constitute revival. Amen. We okay? That does not constitute revival. Revival is when something changes in your heart and in your life. Revival is when God begins to move and draw you closer to Him than you were beforehand. That's revival. To revive, He didn't just say, hey, we're having revival this week. We're not having revival this week, we're having revival. Hey, it's okay if people get saved in a revival meeting, but that's not the purpose of it. Amen. Usually that's a byproduct of it. When God's people get right, sinners will get saved. Amen. We don't have to pump that up, work that up. If we'll just get right, God will take care of everything else. Amen. But the revival has not to do with the sinner, but with the saints of God. Amen. I wonder how many of us go, and we don't even realize it, but we're no longer excited about the things of God. I mean, we're no longer thrilled. It no longer bubbles up inside us. We don't frequent the altar as much as we used to. Things don't bother us like they used to. We've fallen in a rut religiously, and we don't even know that we're there. Amen. I would like to see it get hot in here before the week's out. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about see it just really get on. I'm not just talking about worked up and an emotional stir, but boy, just see God move in our hearts again. Hey, you know the difference of when He is stirring and when He ain't. Amen. And when He ain't stirring, it ain't because He don't want to stir, it's because we don't want to be stirred. Amen. So if we're going to have revival this week, I think we may just have to get the right attitude about it. Amen. Some of you have got your minds made up how you're going to respond this week already. You wouldn't say it outwardly, but your mind's already made up. Amen. Well, bless God, I can't believe it. I got off work and rushed, tried to get here, and Brother Earl ain't even here. Don't you think God knew that? Don't you think God knew, hey, what's it matter who's preaching or who ain't preaching or who's singing? Hey, man, we just need Him. We just need a good dose of the Holy Ghost of God to blow through our midst and to work in our lives. That's what we need. We may need more of a meeting of time spent on our face than time spent shouting and praising. We'll spend the time on the face, then maybe we could spend some time shouting and praising. Amen. I wonder how many of us develop a bad attitude from time to time. Come on. I know churches. I really, when I pull out their parking lot, I want to change the name of their church, Bad Attitude Baptist Church. Amen. Just got bad attitudes. I told y'all the story hundreds of times, and that's what happens when you've been pastoring in one place 17 years. They've heard everything I know and a whole lot of what Brother Charles knows and whoever else I could steal something from. Amen. But I told you about the preacher who picked me up at the airport. I got sat down in the car, and he started, Brother Eddie, I don't know what's the matter with my church. You know, I like it when they pick you up and say, hey, preacher, things are going great. Man, we're excited about the meeting. But, boy, this guy looked like he's on Prozac and ready to blow his brains out and resign the church and everything else. And he told me before he got me to my hotel, he said, tonight when you preach, he said, I want you to watch my church and be honest with me and tell me what you think. He said, I think they're deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, I don't know what the problem is. He said, I've done everything I know to do. He said, and they're just dead. I said, oh, okay. So I went to church that night, observed like he asked me to observe, tried my best to preach to a bunch of deadhead people. We went out to supper that night, and I knew it was coming. He said, "Well, preacher, what do you think the problem is? Is it dead?" I said, "Pretty much." He said, "Did you have good liberty to preach?" I said, "Not really." I said, "It was a struggle." He said, "I could tell." He said, "It's a struggle for me too." He said, "What do you think the problem was?" I said, "Preacher, it started when you got up to make the announcements." He walked behind the pulpit and said, "Well, it's good to see everybody in church tonight. Appreciate y'all being here. It's revival meeting. We got Brother Eddie White from down in Georgia going to preach." There was never a smile, no excitement, no nothing. I said, "Preacher, they're a mirror image of what you are." Yeah. Amen. 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 Sometimes that attitude can creep in there and we don't even realize. And that preacher looked at me and said, "My God, you're right." He come into church the next night, boy, bounced up on the platform and said, "It's good to be saved." Yeah. And them people's eyes got that big around. Somebody said, "Amen, preacher." Oh yeah, they saw him get a little bit of excitement back about him, and they began to get a little bit of excitement. Hey, it was better to preach Tuesday night than it was Monday. Yeah, amen. Our attitude, you know what an attitude is? An attitude is nothing more than an outward expression of an inward feeling. An attitude is nothing more than an outward expression of an inward feeling. Listen, half the time I don't have to ask you how you're doing. Amen. Half the time I don't have to say, "Hey, how are you doing?" I can tell by the look on your face. Amen. I don't have to, I don't need you to come and tell me how good the preaching was after every service. I don't have to come to you and say, "Would you enjoy that message or not?" I know before I ever get done preaching it because I can see it on your face. Amen. I used to have one lady, I couldn't even look at her when I preached. I couldn't do it. If I got my focus on her, I'd be so bad in the flesh and mad, I'd skin everybody in the church's hide. She would sit while I preached and roll her eyes at me. I mean, boy, she'd make it obvious and she'd do them big breaths. Like, man, with an attitude like that, how would you ever expect God to bless or help you? I tell you the kind of attitude we ought to have in service. And it's just amazing to me that Sister Jean Williams is with us tonight. One of the fondest memories of my childhood was during the preaching, while her husband was in the pulpit, you could hear her sitting over in that ladies' amen corner at the front of White Oak Spring. And she, all you could hear was Miss Jean had that little hand in there. And she was saying, "Bless him, Lord. Oh, God, bless him. Touch him, Lord. Use." I mean, boy, hey, that's the right attitude. If we'll come in with that kind of attitude, "God, give it to me. Give me what I need, Lord. I mean, speak to my heart tonight, God." Amen. Amen. If we'll have the right attitude when we come in, God may just do something for us. Amen. I've already got a blessing tonight. How about you? Amen. You know why? I chose to. Yes, sir. Amen. When I called them to the piano, hey, we don't have a program. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what they're going to sing until they open their mouths unless I ask them to sing something. I just let the Lord lead this thing. You say, "Well, that's unorganized." Well, works for us, amen. But I made up my mind sitting in that chair. I don't know what they sang, but I'm going to get something out of it. Amen. I don't know what they're going to sing, but I'm going to let it minister to my heart. I'm going to let it encourage me. I'm going to get something. Amen. I've heard nearly every message Brother Earl preaches. I don't care if the one he preaches tomorrow night, if he's able, I don't care if I've heard it 10 times. I'm going to get something out of it. Amen. I'm going to get something out of it. I'm going to let the man of God help me. We wouldn't outwardly say it, but so often we've already got our minds made up. I don't care what you preach, Jack. I ain't changing. I don't care what you say. I ain't moving. Amen. We're singing, "I shall not be, I shall not be moved." Amen. I mean, we've got our mind made up. God ain't doing nothing. Oh, we're going to go to church. We're going to have a good time. We're going to clap and we might shout a little bit, but mm-mm. Amen. Boy, it's gotten quiet in here. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, what kind of mind was the mind of Christ? In John chapter number 13, famous scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'm not even going to read it. I'm just going to tell you about it. They're sitting at meat, and Jesus gets up, the Bible said, and girds himself with a towel, takes a pan of water, and begins to wash the disciples' feet. What are you saying, preacher? That was an attitude. That was an attitude, and from that attitude was born an act of humility. Remember what Peter said when he got to him? He said, "You ain't washing my feet." Amen. You know what that was? Attitude. Attitude. The Lord was trying to teach them something very, very, very valuable. In other words, what I'm trying to say tonight, if I'm going to have revival in my heart, if I'm going to walk out of this meeting with a spirit of revival in my heart, if I'm going to walk out of this thing being closer to God than I was when I came in, I may have to humble myself.
Amen. Yes,
sir. I may just have, matter of fact, I will have to humble myself. Do you know what? Do you know what the prostate position of prayer is? It's a position of humility. Anytime we bow before God, we are symbolizing that we are humbling ourselves before Him. Amen. You remember the story I told you a couple of weeks ago about the guy who went to Italy? His brother told him, said, "When you go there, make sure you go to such and such church and see such and such painting. Whatever you do, your whole trip will be worthless if you miss seeing that painting." So the guy finds the church in Italy. It's just a little white frame building, and he pulls up out front, and there's a gardener out there. And he said, "I guess you're here to see the painting, right?" And he said, "Yep." He said, "Well, come on in." He walked in the sanctuary, and there it hung. And it looked like a kindergartner had tried to paint a picture of Jesus. Its head was too big. It was all out of proportion. And the guy said, "Man, you mean I drove all this way to see that?" He said, "That is not even a good rendering of Calvary." And the caretaker said, you got to get closer." And the guy took a couple of steps forward, and he said, "Man, things still looks odd to me." He said, "Oh, you got to get lower." And the guy began to crouch down. He said, "Well, it looks a little better." He said, "But still kind of awkward and out of proportion." He said, "You got to get closer." And each time he got closer, he said, "You got to get lower." And each time he got closer, he said, "No, lower." And finally, he found himself dead under the picture on his knees. And before him was the most beautiful picture of Christ he'd ever seen. And he said, "Sir, what you don't understand is the artist painted this portrait on his knees." And if we want to see Christ this week, we may have to get closer, and we may have to get just a little bit lower and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He might do a work in our hearts, in our lives. Amen? Attitude. Jesus washing His disciples' feet. He had nothing to prove. Do you understand that? He had nothing to prove. He had nothing to lose. He had nothing to hide. Yet He being God, and knowing He was God, humbled Himself to wash their feet. What an attitude. God, give me that attitude before I leave here this week. Amen? Make a couple statements about your attitude tonight, and we'll carry on. Somebody once said, "You only see what you are prepared or want to see." You only see what you're prepared to see or what you want to see. Does that make sense to you? The way we think determines what we see. If you see everybody's faults, you've got a bad attitude. If you all the time find out, "Well, I don't know what's wrong with so-and-so. I don't know why she's in such a bad mood." You got a bad attitude. And we all realize, have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and went, "Man, you got a bad attitude"? Come on, talk to me. I mean, brother, I'll go through periods where I just got a bad attitude. Amen. I learned a valuable lesson from Flip Wilson when I was a kid. I'm telling my age. Amen. Flip Wilson was a comedian on TV. And sometimes he was a woman. He played Geraldine. Geraldine would say, "The devil made me do it." And Flip Wilson would say, "What you see is what you get." Amen. Anybody remember that? Come on, talk to me, old people. What you see is what you get. You know what you'll get out of this service tonight? Exactly what you want out of it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You will get exactly what you want out. What you see is what you get.
I get so tired of hearing people say, oh, I wish I knew the Bible like Brother Freddie. Oh, I wish I knew the Bible like Brother Charles. You've got as much of that book as you want. Amen. Why? Because what you see is what you get. So how does he know all that scripture? He's seen it. Amen. Over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. Amen. Attitude. Attitude. How is yours tonight? Remember the little nursery rhyme about the cat that went to London. Said, kitty cat, where have you been? She said, I've been to London to see the Queen. Kitty cat, what did you see there? She said, I spied a mouse run under her chair. There she was in the splendors of the Buckingham Palace. Before the Queen's throne, you know what she saw? A rat. We sit here in the presence and the anointing of God with God stirring and God moving. You ever notice the difference? Now, I can see more going on in the service than you can. If y'all, you guys that sat down up here up front, you ain't got a clue. But I can see everybody. Amen. Why is it in the services you got one jumping up over here going, amen, one clapping his hands over here and shouting, and somebody squalling like a baby over here? And I was watching Brother Charles getting him a blessing while they're singing Thou Art Worthy a while ago. Well, that just thrilled my soul. But then I watched the other people just sitting there. And it's like, we're in the same room. We're in the same place. We just heard the same thing. What's the difference? Attitude. While he's getting a blessing out of the unseen hand, you're worried what you're going to take for lunch tomorrow. Your mind's somewhere else. You're wondering what time you're going to get home and what you're missing while I'm preaching. Amen. We okay tonight? Amen. What you see is what you get. Yeah. Several things about your attitude, and we'll go to the house. Number one, your attitude is your choice. Yeah. Say it again. Your attitude is your choice. I don't know if any of you men's wives are like mine. She hadn't said this in a long time, but used to she'd get mad, and she'd say, just let me alone. I want to be mad for a while. She'd say, I'll get over it, but I want to be mad right now. Come on, men, cowards. I know if my wife has that feeling, yours does too. In other words, she's saying, hey, I'll be all right after a while, but right now I choose to be mad. Your attitude is your choice. Listen, if you're sour and critical, it's because you choose to be. Bless God, I'm going down to that church and I'm going to find everything that's wrong. That's your choice. I don't want to know what's wrong. Do you understand that? Somebody said, preacher, I need to tell you something about so-and-so. No, I got to worship with them. Yeah. Amen. I don't want to know everything about you. Why do you want to know everything about somebody else? Yeah. So you can think less of them than you do already? Yeah. Come on. Hey, everybody's got garbage. Yeah. Everybody walks through that door back yonder and come in with some kind of baggage. Yeah. Hey, just things about your past I don't need to know. There's things about your day today I don't need to know. Amen. If you come in with a critical and a sour spirit, it's your choice. A lady was out school shopping with her daughter one day. They had been in every shop and every store and every mall. She had walked, her feet was about to fall off, and buddy, she had a bad attitude. They come out of one shoe store and she looked at her daughter and she said, did you see the look that cashier gave me? She said, Mama, the cashier didn't give you that look. You had that look when you came in. Amen. Amen. The attitude you have right now is by choice. Oh, I sit here on this platform and watch them. We have probably, and I'm not bragging on our church, but on a given Sunday morning, we have more visitors than probably any church around. It blows my, I guess it's because where we're located. And I don't know if you understand it or not, but if you back up and look at our building, it screams First Baptist Church, because that's what it used to be. And it's built, I mean, every First Baptist church in this part of the country was made to look like this. So a lot of these people that have just moved in the area, I watch them, they come in with a real nice clothes on and acting a little bit dignified they're expecting a sevenfold amen. About the time we get to singing, people start coming to the altar, somebody gets to shouting, they're like, oh my. One guy or family had just moved into Mirror Lake, stopped and shook my hand at the door. He said, very interesting. Hey, man. Hey, just because it ain't what you're used to don't mean you can't get something out of it. Just because it's loud, just because it's long, just because it's excited, just because it's exuberated don't mean that you can't get something if you want it. Amen. I was invited to go to a special meeting, famous special meeting. One of our missionaries, Brother Charles probably remember this, but one of our missionaries called me up and he said, if you'll go, I'll pay for it. I said, all right. Bought my plane ticket, the whole nine yards to go to this. It was a soul-winning, I'll put it that way, it was a soul-winning revival. You remember that? Whoo, I was excited. Jack Hiles was going to preach every night. I thought, boy, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. First service was. The next morning, they called the guys. It was just our first time being there. They called us rookies. And they kept us in the sanctuary and took all these other people who had been there before, took them out into another place to do soul winning clinics with them or whatever. Well, we're sitting there, probably about 1,000 of us. And this lady comes to the pulpit, a woman. To a room full of preachers. And she said, men, I'm here to talk to you today about the music in your church. She said, now let's get one thing straight. If you have a bass guitar in your church, your music is straight out of hell. I said, she did not. She did not. And I'm looking around at all these other preachers and they're like, she did. They was a Free Will Baptist church. And Free Will, brother, them folks get it on. Well, they got up and got it out of there. They walked out on it. I'm stuck. This missionary paid for my room. He bought my plane ticket. I can't go home till it's over. I don't even have a vehicle. And the Holy Spirit said, big boy, you got a choice. Sit here with a pooched out lip and an attitude, or hang around and get a blessing after a while. So I didn't agree with everything that went on in the meeting, but it was a meeting I'll never forget as long as I live going to. On Friday night, Brother Hiles closed that meeting out, and he preached that famous sermon, Is There Not a Place Called Hell? Most powerful message I've ever heard on hell. He preached. He said, but if you want a burden for soul winners, hell's got to win souls, hell's got to be real. And I'll never forget that. I'm glad I didn't forsake the good stuff that was there because I was so focused on what was there that I didn't like. Get your mind, isn't that the way it normally is? You can have a plate of the best food in the world with all your favorite dishes, but they put one spoonful on there of something you hate, and it just about ruins the whole meal. You can't enjoy your steak for gagging at the broccoli. Come on, talk to me. Why don't we focus on what is right? Hey, I know we got problems around here. You know how I know that? Because we got people. You a messed up bunch. That's why I'm a prime candidate to preach to you. Amen. Right. Amen. We get along just fine. Amen, bro. Yeah, we got a problem, but we got some good stuff too. Yes, amen. What about that testimony, Brother Randy, tonight? Yes, amen. I know these people gossip on Facebook, but what about that? She bragging on her husband. Yes, amen. Your attitude is your choice. Number two, your attitude will determine your approach to life. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. You ever notice people who smile no matter what? Then there's people who never smile. Amen. How many of y'all remember Alan Crewe? Alan Crewe, he was our first choir director. Oh, Smiley. That's what we called him when we was in school. You can tell if he had dental problems. Everywhere he goes, you can see his back teeth. I mean, that boy smiles more than anybody ever. You couldn't knock a smile off his face with a ball bat. Amen. I mean, everywhere he went. How many of you know Brother Tommy Talent? Brother Tommy Talent. Brother Charles knows Brother Tommy. That's one of the sweetest men. He's got the meanest wife in the world, but that is one of the sweetest men. Send her his CD, all right? No matter what, Brother Tommy just always had a smile and a kind word. Amen. That attitude determined his approach to life. It's attitude. It's attitude. He was happy every time you saw him. Amen. Now, can you honestly say, I'm happy anytime anybody sees me? How would you like to be? I know we can't all have perfect days every day. But listen, we're saved by the blood. We're on our way to heaven when we die. We should at least smile more than we frown. We should at least have more joy than we do sorrow. Why? Because we are saved. Because we are blood washed. Because we are heaven bound. Hallelujah. No matter what. No matter what Obama does. I'm going to heaven when I die. And he ain't. There it is. Smile, you be all right. Amen. I'm going to heaven when I die. I've got something to have a good attitude about. Remember the story about the old guy? He came, he traveled across the country and came to stay a few weeks with his daughter and then his son-in-law and their children. And boy, he was a real dignified fella, and he had went in and laid down, was going to take a nap. She had little old stair-step boys, and they as mean as rattlesnakes. He went in to take a nap. He had a big handlebar mustache. That old man was laying in the bed sound asleep, taking him a nap, and them little boys got in the Frigidaire and got some Limburger cheese. You ever smelled that stuff? Woo, it's rank, buddy. And they got in there, Grandpa was laying on the bed, and they rubbed that Limburger cheese in that big handlebar mustache. He woke up from a little while from his nap. He said, this room stinks. So he got up and he went in the kitchen where his daughter was preparing supper, and he said, this kitchen stinks. He said, I'm going to go in the living room, read the paper. He went in the living room, sat down with the paper, and he said, oh, the living room stinks. He said, I'm going outside to get some fresh air. And he walked out the door and he went, oh, he said, the whole world stinks. It's not the bedroom, sir. It's not the living room, sir. It's not the kitchen, sir. And it's certainly not the whole world, sir. It's just your upper lip. Amen. Your attitude will determine your approach to life. Thirdly. You say, what's this got to do with revival? A whole lot. Amen. We're not going to have revival if we're not prepared to receive it. Amen. Number three, your attitude will determine your relationship with others. Your attitude will determine your relationship with others. Anybody know anybody that you hate to see coming? Brother Eric's going to be honest. Yeah, I do. I mean, you just hate to see them coming because they got an old crabby attitude. They're a crab. Every time you see their name on your caller ID, it's like, oh. Come on. Talk to me a little bit. So nobody wants to hang out with me. Huh? Nobody ever invites me over. You ought to give that some thought. A man that hath friends, the Bible said, must show himself friendly. Your attitude will determine. Hey, do y'all understand we are in the people business?
Yes, sir.
You understand that? We're in the people business.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. Ain't no sinner going to come sit in Attitude Baptist Church.
That's right.
I was just a kid preacher, and me and my wife was in Rock Mart. I won't say the church, but we was in Rock Mart. You remember that? There's a youth meeting. And Ashley was just a little baby, or Levi, I don't remember which one, but she had the babies. And I had to preach this youth meeting. She went downstairs, took the baby to the nursery, stayed in the nursery the whole service. There was five or six women in there keeping the nursery. Not one of them ever spoke to my wife. They didn't say, hey, how are you doing? Are you Brother Eddie's wife? Blah, blah, blah. They didn't say nothing. They just looked at her. We got in the car to go home. She said, it's the unfriendliest place I've ever been in my life. Man. I can handle people leaving here and going, man, you'd think they'd do something about the stains in that carpet.
Yeah.
I can handle people leaving here and saying it was too hot in that sanctuary.
Yeah.
I can handle people leaving here on Sunday and saying it was too cold. I can even handle them leaving here saying the preacher was too loud and too long. Guilty. But I cannot handle them leaving here saying that place was unfriendly.
Amen.
Have you ever visited in a church and the people just looked at you?
Yeah.
Like they thought you just landed from another planet somewhere?
Yeah.
You wondering if you got something hanging out of your nose or something? Because they just keep staring at you till you make eye contact with them and they look away.
Yeah.
Come on. Man, I don't want people coming here like that. We got to have a good attitude.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, kill them with what?
Kindness.
Man, we ought to drive them people crazy. When they get in their car, that husband ought to look at his wife and say, I don't think I could shake another hand for a week. I have been asked my name 1,000 times. Amen. People don't want to go and sit with a bunch of dry, crabby old grumps. I don't. Amen. Stanford Research Institute said that 87% of success in the business world is people knowledge. Only 13% is how-to knowledge. Churches spend fortunes over all these seminars. Come let us show you how to do this, how to do this, how to do it. You fall in love with people, you don't have to worry about all that stuff.
That's right. Amen.
You fall in love with little old boys and girls on their way to hell, you ain't got to worry about no how to.
That's right.
Amen. That little lady at the well, maybe she fell in love with Jesus. She didn't go to no discipleship program. She went back to town and said, come, see a man. Told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Hey, man, all you got to do is just get full of him. Fall in love with people that he's fallen in love with. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, man, people don't care how much you know.
So
they know how much you care. Say it again. People don't care how much you know.
Amen, brother.
So they know how much you care.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's the truth, bro.
You know what? You can rebuke people that knows you care about
them.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 You can get on people that knows you. They know you love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
we all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
Listen, the only person in this world that can make you happy is you. I learned a long time ago not to let the temperament or the attitude of the people I preach to affect whether or not I'm happy. I got my happy. You get yours. And by the way, you can't have mine. Amen. Hey, I'm happy. Are you? Hey, them little old kids sing, I'm H-A-P-P-Y, I'm H-A-P-P-Y. Hey, why don't we sing that? Because we're not. I tell you all the time, back up out yonder and look at that sign, people. It says Happy Valley Baptist Church. Man, we ought to at least have a smile on our face. Them visitors look at one another like, I could have swore that sign said happy. Maybe that means something else in the Greek. Amen. Your attitude, listen, your attitude will determine your relationship with others. The only person that make you happy is you. Listen, I read this in a truck stop, and I'll never forget, years and years ago. Is that that funny? Years and years ago, something just got a hold of Melinda back there. I don't know what. It must have been good. If we're still in school, they'd say, stand up and share with the class. Amen. Years ago, when Ashley was little and Levi and Miss Elizabeth, me and another preacher, we took both of our youth groups. We both had big Greyhound buses, and we went to New York City, Brother Charles. Never forget it. Went to Washington, D.C. and had a street service. We preached on Times Square, had a New York City cop get saved in uniform on Times Square in New York City. But somewhere between here and the Great White North, one of our buses, I think it was ours, but no, it was the other. One of the buses broke down in a truck stop. We had 130 teenagers, and we had to spend the night in that truck stop. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? No air conditioning, hot, middle of the summer. You talk about some ill, crabby people. The kids thought it was great. Cool, we're going to spend a night in a truck stop, you know. They was going in buying candy and Coca-Colas. They was having a party. But boy, every adult on that bus had a bad attitude. Every one of them. I walked in that truck stop, and you know how they got all the little whatnot stuff they sell? They had a rack that had signs on it. And these signs all had these little cute sayings. Here's what one of those signs said. No matter where you are, there you are. That's what it said. No matter where you are, that's where you is. Amen. And I stood there and I looked at that sign and I said, I'm going to go out there and party with them teenagers. I can't do nothing about it. They ain't nowhere to get a bus parked till 9 o'clock in the morning. Why go out there and sulk and pooch my lip out with them crabby adults? I'm going to go out there and sing with the kids. Amen. And we had a blast camping out in a truck stop. Amen. Your attitude will determine your relationship with others. Listen, your attitude can turn your problems into blessings. Your attitude can turn your problems into blessings. Did you know that every miracle in the Bible started with a problem? Think about it. Every miracle in the Bible started with a problem. You say, preacher, I got problems. You're a candidate. Preacher, I got some problems. You're a candidate for God to do something great in your life. I got big problems. Well, you're a candidate for a big miracle to happen. Amen. Amen. I wrote this little acrostic down years ago. Problems. Problems are predictors. They have the ability to predict what we will become by the way we respond to them. Everybody got problems. Would you agree with that? R. Problems are reminders. They remind us that we all need God and that we will always have problems. Problems are part of life. Problems are opportunities. Problems are opportunities. Every problem gives us a chance to do better and become stronger. Amen. B, problems can be blessings. Almost every spiritual blessing began with a trial or a problem. L, problems are lessons. Each one will teach us something about life and something about ourselves, and we can learn from our problems. Amen. E, problems are everywhere. You're not alone. Everybody has them. I got problems. You got problems. All God's children got problems. Amen. M, they're messages. Every problem sends a message to us, kind of like those lights on your dashboard. Amen. S, they're solvable. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Your attitude can turn your problems into blessings. Lastly, and I'm done,
Your attitude will help you to handle your problems. Your attitude will help you to handle your problems. When I was a teenager, I worked several summers with a carpenter in our church at White Oak, Brother Kenneth Corin. He became a home builder, but he used to frame houses. And I was his lumber toter. In other words, Kenneth said, go get it. I went and got it. Never forget, he was up on a roof, and I'm supposed to be handing him up a sheet of plywood that weighs more than me. I'm trying to put that sheet of plywood up on that roof, and every time I raise it up, the wind catches it. So it's like a kite. And he hollered down that roof. He said, you gonna get that plywood up here today? I said, Kenneth, I can't. Next thing I know, he disappeared. I heard them little feet coming down that ladder. Boy, he stuck his finger in my face. He said, I don't ever want to hear you say that. I thought I slipped and cussed. He said, don't you ever say that again. I said, oh, what did I say? I can't, never will. The right attitude says, I'm having a hard time getting it done, but by the grace of God, and with His help, we're going to get said plywood on said roof. Amen. By the grace of God, and if the Lord will help me and give me strength, we'll get through this. How many times do you ever feel like just throwing up your hands? That won't get you nowhere. It'll get you sour. It'll get you bitter. It'll get you quit. That's all it'll get you. Amen. Let's have the right attitude when it comes to revival this week. Let's allow the Lord to speak to our hearts and do something. Amen. Something real. Thank God. Let's stand to our feet all over the house. Hope that was all right tonight. It wasn't Brother Earl, but Lord willing, he'll be here tomorrow night. Listen, boys, let me get a couple of y'all down here hand out these prayer sheets. Listen, it's Wednesday night. We're going to dismiss like we always do. We're going to gather up in this altar, and we're going to pray. Let's pray for all these on the list tonight, but let's also pray for this revival meeting coming up. Please pray for Brother Earl. That God just put His hand on him, he'd be able to preach tomorrow. Brother Charles, thank you and Miss Jean for being here again tonight, brother. That's my honor, preacher.